So I noticed something a couple of weeks ago on Netflix, and this was kind of like right after some other coincidences surrounding you and I had happened, but I was in a show scrolling, and you know, things get suggested for me that are like millennial geared, of course. And there is a new show called Why Are You Like This? Have you scrolled past this? Have you seen it?
On what platform?
There is
Netflix?
A Netflix show about like people who are kind of between millennials and Gen Z called Why Are You Like This?
It's
a scripted comedy.
I mean, this is not scripted. This is comedic. But also, you know, I don't watch jack shit. So like, did I scroll past something on, you know, the Netflix? No, absolutely not. I don't even know the last time I was scrolling for anything on Netflix. Sorry, everyone.
Sure.
I feel weird about that, though.
I watched the trailer, and I'm not super interested in watching it, but
okay,
it
good.
Felt like
good.
I mean, I guess it's called the same thing as us, so this makes sense, but it feels kind of like a scripted, like Twilight Zone adjacent, like version of our show, because it's about like how people of that age can be like dramatic and annoying and like over like diagnose themselves and things like that that maybe sometimes we are guilty of. That's all.
Doing that? are we diagnosing ourselves? Are we out here just like,
are we diagnosing you?
You know, are we diagnosing you? Also, honestly, a question for the kids. Wow. Also, welcome to the fup date.
And
I
welcome
guess.
To the fup date.
If you're new to Fupdate Times, it is our like once a month weekly segment where we jump in true Why Are You Like This fashion to just give you some brief juju about whatever we're noodling on.
A little more
maybe
current.
Whatever we're overthinking about. We can't know. In order to determine why people are the way that they are. That's Jamie Ryan holding it down in Los Angeles.
And that's Austin Williams in Chicago. I almost said in Cincinnati. That was my mouth
making
I've the
shape.
Wow, it's
been many years since I've lived there.
Yeah, that's never been a thing I've said on this show. Yeah.
Wow, true. Wow.
Anyway, and to
so
be fully
like
honest, I have not
annoyed?
Watched it. I was. I like. I had like a heat in me, and I was. I had a feeling
heat.
Of
oh, a heat
like
in my body.
You stole this, but I'm like, no. Like this is. I mean, this is just a phrase that people say. Like it doesn't belong to us.
It's true.
TM. But I don't know. It could be a good show. It could be bad. I didn't watch it. So like maybe my summary wasn't even super accurate. But that's what I gathered from the trailer. So check it out if you want.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I feel that. I feel.
But
again,
I do feel infringed upon, I think. That's what it is.
Okay. Yeah. You know, it's interesting because sometimes when people like something sounds similar to an idea you have, you can't decide if that like validates that like it's a good idea or if it makes you feel like you have less onus over whatever it is that you're doing.
Yeah. It's like when you meet someone who's really similar to you and it's like validating, but
a
also you're like, this makes me feel less original.
Yeah, or like, is there room for both of us? I mean, listen.
And why are you like this show? We're coming for you.
Listen, we're coming for
only
you, Netflix.
Only one of us can be here.
Only one can survive. And you know,
anyway,
what?
We're not here to come for
nobody's canceling this podcast because no one's in charge, okay? So we can't tell you what Netflix is going to do to your fucking show, bitches.
That's true. You have overlords.
You have overlords. We don't.
Free balling over here.
Truly balls out and they are free. My balls have never been freer. So here's the thing. There is some relevance to mentioning, I guess, what this show you're cluing me in on and I feel weird about. Because we're kind of doing a little bit of a fupdate, like circle back on a season 2 topic. And then something I feel like we've like kind of talked about a lot in like,
it's a recurring
recent
theme.
Weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it feels like real quarantine heavy. But
I was going to say, I think quarantine's been a time for this too.
Yes. We got to stop doing this. So we're going to tell you about it. But in season 2 on episode 21, if you're looking for the OG episode, we did an episode called Collective Unconscious and Inherited Memory, Knowing What We Didn't Learn. Dun, dun. You're welcome for that Law and Order sound effect. Shout out Mariska Hargitay. Yeah, but we've been thinking, I guess, a lot about this. And on that episode, you know, we really noodle about like the nature versus nurture conversation mm-hmm. of, you know, what are you born with like knowing or like do you have inherited memories? There's like a little bit of, I feel like, past life overlap there if you like want to get into mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. But the idea of just collective unconscious, again, just this idea that like collectively, I don't know, we're on some sort of like frequency with other people mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. that there's some sort of like shared amount of knowledge that we're all like not consciously plugged into, but like plugged into.
Yeah. Like we're all kind of in there's a cloud and we're all like tapped into it.
We're tapped into the cloud. So I think, I mean, first of all, I think we just need to like publicly acknowledge the instances on this show that have made us feel most weird.
Definitely. I'm ready.
I think the first one for me was when we put out the episode about Schadenfreude and then immediately Trump got COVID.
Yeah.
And then everyone kept talking about Schadenfreude and it was like, sorry, we just recorded this and now everybody's talking about what it means to like enjoy someone else's mm-hmm.
And I've heard that word so discomfort. Much now this year.
And I had never heard it before. Never heard the episode.
Us doing the episode was truly my very my first pronunciation of that word. And then immediately Dorinda on The Housewives is talking about it. I love Dorinda.
I mean, fully nuts. And this is like less, I want to say like collective unconscious, but just something I feel compelled to bring up that like we talk about Rush Limbaugh like a bunch on one episode and then he like we put out the episode and then he immediately died.
I know. That was really bad. That was
it's like not great. Like we have to stop texting people that with this show
and being like, hey, like this episode came out yesterday and
And
now he has died. We also did a weird horoscope prediction at the end of 2019 when we did like the very last reading of 2019. We were like, guys, it seems like there's going to be like global giant problems like starting in a couple of months.
Right.
Yeah. Worldwide problems on a scale not seen for centuries. A century.
Oops. A pandemic. And then I start to get like confirmation bias, honestly, because I'm like, we said that stuff for the pandemic, but I was also like, wow, remember when we like really talked about plague doctors and then there was a plague? And those two things weren't like super close in timeline together, but then I'm like starting to use it as evidence, you know what I mean?
Look at what we're doing. I'm building a case for our supernatural abilities slowly all the time.
Okay, but there were two things that happened super recently that the timing for us was insane, but for you, dear listeners, it was not. And the first one was, so we recorded the cryptocurrency episode that came out recently in this season six, and it was not released to you yet. We actually expedited the release because we recorded that episode on a Sunday. And then immediately that Monday, The Daily did an episode on cryptocurrency.
And that was frustrating like, to me.
Then we felt like, well, we were just explaining this to people. New York Times, like, God damn it.
Come on, make some space for us.
Make some space for us. And speaking of other New York publications, same thing happened that you didn't experience the craze of it. We recorded an episode on work spouses, like work wives and work husbands. Mm-hmm. And then immediately the next day, I sent this to Jamie and then someone else in my life also sent it to me and was like, dude, simulation. Mm. The Cut immediately released this article the next day that was called like The History of the Work Spouse. And I was like, I'm sorry, this feels weird
because
I had this idea to talk about this and it felt like something that people weren't discussing a bunch right now. And
I hadn't heard that in like a decade. Yeah.
See, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And so it felt so weird. And I was like, I'm sorry, like work spouses, The Cut, The Crypto, The Daily.
And there are like more than that, I feel. Well, and Rush Limbaugh, but like,
yeah,
there were more other small ones as well that we're forgetting. But guys, it's been like really, really, really a lot of stuff.
It's felt like a lot of things. And it's felt like, oh my gosh, like we just recorded this episode. And then 2 seconds later, this thing we were talking about is immediately somehow like
top of mind.
top of mind, front page news, whatever. And here's kind of my question is, we talked about this like in collective unconsciousness. Mm-hmm. And then like also I feel like I've been having these sidebars all the time when I'm getting this like weird, like we were just talking about this and now here it is.
Synchronicity of,
like,
stuff.
With friends, we'll just be like, this is a simulation. We'll just be like sim, mm-hmm. like sim moment. And what do you think about the difference between, or like if one supports the other mm. of like collective unconscious slash like synchronicity versus like the simulation?
I feel like the simulation, if you will, is like a almost like a science fiction version of synchronicity and the collective unconscious, which I think as I understand them, I believe those two things to be true. But I don't, I think that the simulation takes it a step further into like more of a science fiction universe. Like, I don't think that it's literally a simulation, but I do
I'm
think.
I'm not sold that it isn't. This is the one time that I think so, I'll go further than you.
We are.
This is unlike us.
Yeah. This is really, really unlike us. But
I'm not convinced that it's not a simulation. I'm not convinced that it is, but I'm not convinced that it's not really on the table.
I think that the reason I don't believe that it's a simulation is because I think that that implies like less chaos and randomness and more of like someone being in charge.
You don't know how the algorithms work in this simulation, how what the randomization is.
No, you're right. You're right. And someday we'll talk about the singularity and then I will wax and wane and spin out about how I wonder if like actually we're really far in the future and we're like AIs have like learned to put us into a simulation and it's actually like year 4040, you know, like, and we're all just in that way. It could be a simulation, but I don't feel like the Earth has been like a simulation from the beginning. I think like it was organic and then maybe the AIs.
Well, yeah, I don't think the simulation implies that there's no starting point. You know what I mean?
Of like, no, it doesn't.
Things emerging organically.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is unlike us, though, that I'm like, I don't know, maybe I'm the person mm-hmm. who's coming to the table with arguably the quote unquote, hate to use a C word, but crazier or like less believable mm-hmm. or less substantiated theory that I'm like, I don't know, I could be here for this. I kind of can't believe that I'm down for that and you're not.
I can't either. But I want to clarify like what I think about like the synchronicity and like collective unconscious stuff, because I think it's probably.
Yeah.
I guess the way that I think about that and I think why I would like the way that I would explain all of these coincidences happening like for us on the show, for example, is
okay.
that like that kind of cloud that like we're all tapped into is I think just that we're all living at the same time and like in America, for example, like all experiencing like similar news stories and like there's only so much TV programming and like certain words trend. And so like there is like a cultural conversation happening all the time and like everyone kind of engaging with these same things. I think that naturally we come to a lot of the same conclusions and we come to a lot of the same quote like original ideas and like they are original ideas, but because we all like have the same like input, like we're all like consuming things that are not that different, like the ideas of someone today are going to be more similar to the ideas of someone else today than the ideas of someone in the 1800s, because like you're coming out of a different culture. And so I do think that it's just accidents. I think that like human beings are maybe like just we're not that creative, like we can't really think of new stuff. And so
I don't know. I would push back on that, though, because, like, I do think there's a lot of new stuff that's, like, continuing to happen. But I feel like maybe it's sometimes, like, there's so much of it that we feel, like, a little numb to invention. Mm. Like, when electricity was new, it's like, what is this fucking witch shit? But now it's like, technology is like constantly evolving and becoming more advanced. You think about like medical stuff that people are doing. I think about that a lot in like times of pandemic juju. And just like, I do feel like there's a lot of constant evolution. And even you think about just like writing and the like creative freedoms people are taking and the mediums that people have decided are art. And I do feel like there's a lot there, but there's just so much that, like, none of it feels as, like, special and shiny.
No, that's fair. And I think that, like, I would maybe classify those things, like, as change, not as, like, new things.
You wouldn't consider that creative?
I would consider it creative, but I guess what I'm saying is, like, we cannot, like, think of a new color. Like, we can't introduce, like, a fully new, like, element or, like, like, we only know, like, hot and cold. Like, we can't think of, like, another, like, thing like that.
I feel like everything you just said I disagree with, which is crazy.
You can think of a new color?
I feel like there have been, like, new pigments recently and people talking about, like, even just, like, the absence of color versus, like, the presence of all of it and understanding it in different ways recently. I don't know the ins and outs of that, but I feel like I've seen some shit.
Understanding when, it, yes. But it's still, like, you're still working with, like a rainbow spectrum.
Yeah, but I also think, like, we probably continue to be equipped to, like, break that into smaller pieces that we haven't before.
Yes, so that's what I'm saying, is we're breaking it into smaller pieces that we haven't before. We're not extending it, like, out to the side.
Well, yeah, but we never invented the colors to begin with. We just named them.
Right, so we're just, like, reconfiguring things. Anyway, all this to say,
haven't we always been reconfiguring things?
Yes.
Also, they have discovered new elements recently. And I would argue there's... What's that?
We didn't think of them. We discovered them.
But we've never thought of an element.
Yeah.
Like, they've all been discovered.
So
that's always how it's been.
And that is kind of what I'm saying. I'm saying that there's, like, although we're discovering stuff, there's a finite amount of, like, stuff in the world, and we're, like, making things in more complicated and, like, more advanced and, like, elegant ways.
Sure.
But I do think that just because we all, like, live in this world that has, like, only so mm-hmm. many elements and, like, we're confined to, like, whatever culture we're in, like, whatever that mm-hmm. experience is. I'm just saying, I mm-hmm. think that this leads a lot of us to a lot of the same ideas, and it's causing...
No, I agree with that.
Especially, like, the exacerbation during quarantine. I think, like, that's an example of how, like, when you shrink your environment, like, that happens even more. Because...
But this is the thing I guess I want to get a handle on. Do you feel like we are... quote unquote, like, less creative or coming up with less new things than we were previously? Because I would argue that the parameters have always been the same. We've just gotten closer and closer to the edges.
Yeah, I don't think it's
that's
like
what I'm saying.
Less or more. I just think it's different. Yeah. And, like, whether or not I didn't mean to derail us on, like, on a new color idea.
I don't know. I'll be derailed on new colors for my whole life. My dream job is to just name colors for Crayola.
I used to think
about that a lot when I was younger, just, like, how all I wish I could do is, like, name crayons.
Yes. No, I wish that too. But no, I think that I think about it like we're just all kind of consuming similar stuff. But then I do wonder if there's an element of, in the way that we can kind of, like, smell each other's pheromones, but we're not conscious of it. I wonder if there's something like that. Like, I learned this week, and I'll just read a quote from this guy, Bernard Bateman, who is...
What's up, Bernard? Welcome to the program.
He's a neurobehavioral sciences professor at University of Virginia. We always talk about the University of Virginia.
Oh, shout out to UVA.
Because they have that paranormal research department.
Yeah, they have the weird... that people are doing the kind of research that I would want to do at UVA.
Shout out
to the Cavaliers. Mm-hmm.
But he says that just as sharks have ampullae, I don't know how to say that word, but sharks have something in their skin that detect small electromagnetic changes to help them locate prey. He says it's plausible, maybe even probable, that humans have similar mechanisms to detect coincidences.
I believe that. I mean, I think we've talked about that before in, like, different contexts. Listen, I don't need to get on my platform about how I believe in ghosts, but, like, you know when we talk about, like, kids being perceptive of mm-hmm. things sometimes that mm-hmm. I just feel like their brains are a little bit more open because no one shamed them into being
closing it up.
You know, believing in this unprovable stuff is, you know, a sign of some sort of, like, mental illness or, you know, fantastical, like,
magical
devoid from
thinking.
Reality, whatever. Yeah. And so I kind of feel like we've, like, conditioned ourselves out of maybe some of, honestly, maybe some of that creative freedom that you're talking about, mm-hmm. of like newness that, like, I think we've in a lot of ways made folks feel that to exist too far in one direction is, you know, outside of social norms in a way that isn't good. Mm-hmm. And like also to that point, then maybe some of the people who are really having the like the real original thoughts we're like dismissive of because we've written them off again mm-hmm. as like a little cuckoo ca-choo, and mm-hmm. that's not fair.
Mm-hmm. If we think about like more versus less creative people, I think that like comedians, for example, like those are often like original thinkers and they're like able to be like really articulate. But often what makes them really funny is that what they say like hits true for a lot of people.
Yeah,
and a lot of people
truth.
Are like, oh, I've thought of that. But this is funny because I've thought of that before, too. And like, I think that there's some collective unconscious juju there where like, maybe someone is able to like name something, but it's a thought that we've all had because of the environment that we're living in. And so
this
that
actually
brings
makes
me back,
think so much of Call to the Void. Go on.
But that just brings me back to like, I do think that it's because like on Earth, like we're in a confined environment, like there's only so many things we can look at and hear.
So we
come up with a lot of the same shit. And then we also, I think that like we have to acknowledge that confirmation bias is like a really big thing. And
it's like kind of a really
that
big
we have
deal, casual.
A desire to seek coincidences also. I think that that is
something
that's
real. Well,
because
we have a desire to make sense of our
and
world.
And that is what
and
it is.
And if you can like seek coincidences or like connect some dots by looking backwards, you feel like maybe you can make sense of things. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like people, I feel like we do that with our own lives of being like, oh, like this was like destined to be or like is the right thing because like 5 years ago, one time I said blah, blah, you know?
Absolutely. Hmm. It's us always looking for that 527 when we get on the train to see if
we're
on
always
the magic
looking
car.
For my birthday.
Yep.
Which is Jamie's birthday in the Lord. Jamie's
oh,
baptized
right.
on my birthday. And why are we obsessed with that coincidence? Like, it's not like anybody here is real hyped about Jesus, but like, I love that you were baptized on my birthday.
My spiritual birthday. Yeah.
Your spiritual birth.
My grandma, just brief aside, my grandma would always like say how old she was, like in spiritual years. She would be like, oh, well, like I'm turning like 20 years old, like this Wednesday. And I'm like, Mimi, what? And she's like, yeah, my spiritual birthday was like in 1980, whatever.
Oh my God, I want to have a spiritual birthday. When was my awakening? Oh my God.
I don't know. But speaking of birthdays, in that same article that I was reading about, which if you wanted to check it out, is a discovermagazine.com article titled The Science Behind Coincidence by...
I wish it were from livescience.com, your favorite resource, but it's not.
I wish that too. I wish that too. But they also talk about like meaning making and like that maybe we recognize coincidence, like you said, in order to like provide ourselves with solace and clarification, and like just to make sense of the world, as you said. And they argue that like it's just chance. And the example that they use is, and I don't remember where I was, but maybe like at a college orientation, someone did this like activity with a group that I was in. But if you're in a room of 23 people or more, 23 or more people.
Oh, I'm excited about what this is going to be. I don't know why I got super hyped.
It's just a weird statistic. There is just over a 50-50 chance, so slightly more than half, that two of the people in the room will share a birthday. And most people...
Just 23 people. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, 50-50 chances somebody has the same birthday. And when I did that in, I think it was my college orientation because I'm remembering
that's
what I was wearing.
That's fucking awesome.
That
yeah,
two
everybody
people,
remembers what they wore to college orientation because we were trying so hard.
We were trying too hard. But definitely more than one person. Like there were two people that shared a birthday. And I remember like that moment blowing my mind and like sitting there trying to like do the math in my head. And that's like before I was in cat's math, so, you know, I wasn't good at it yet.
It's before Jamie had to take remedial college.
Yeah.
It doesn't get old. Oh, man.
But that apparently mathematically checks out, but it sounds insane. Like, I would think that, I would be like, insane. Oh my God, this is fate. Like, you had the same birthday as one of our classmates growing up. And there were only 30 people in our third grade class. And so, like,
yeah, we were talking about that. Oh my God, I'm the statistic.
You are. Wow. And we share a spiritual birthday. So, like, it's a statistic and a half, well, you know?
My born day is your spiritual birthday. Oh my God, I want to tell everyone about that my whole life.
I think it was 1996. So, like, your sixth birthday was
spiritual birthday.
I was in a long black t-shirt at the Vineyard Church being dunked by the pastor in front of everyone. Yep.
Honestly, like, those crazy baptisms. Extreme. God bless, literally. Wow. No. Okay. So, like, thinking about all of this and these, like, coincidences that we want to run the through line to, and, like, how we're doing that with the podcast right now. And now, so much so that we needed to do, like, a meta episode about it and tell you and be like, guys, like, we are just really predicting the future and killing people with this show. Don't listen. We can't say the names. We also remember when we were like, I would never elect a Scorpio for president.
Oh, my God. Yes, I do remember that.
I feel like, yeah, we manifested that literally and figuratively, like, talking about it on the show and with our votes. What are you going to do?
And then I'm like, if we had never done blood magic, would this all be happening? Probably so.
Yeah, if we hadn't talked about chaos magic and burning our menstrual blood so much, would any of these weird things be happening?
And had those pages of spells.
Why do I want to make that an argument?
And then you got scared? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just thought that maybe we could die.
I thought so too. No, when you texted me that, I was like, oh shit. Like, she's probably right.
I was like, what if we die because of this? And you were like, that's actually a real fear. Please stop doing this magic.
Whew, yeah.
Guys, I'm not going to say we didn't try and employ chaos magic in our lives for a period in time. I mean, Jamie did it once and she had the worst day of her life, but made $400.
It was weird. Yeah. There was a lot of energy. I'll say that.
We'll say that. Yeah, she was burning this menstrual blood. No, but, like, real talk, I just, all of this, like, stuff that we're talking about, and it's, like, funny and fun and, like, goofy, and, like, the coincidences feel, like, good, and then you can be like, is it a coincidence? Is it fate? And honestly, that's probably a whole other episode. But, like,
it is.
How do you feel about that in terms of just, like, the collective unconscious? Like, does this feel just like a big argument for it, or, like, proof, or what do you think?
I do think that it's a big argument for it. I think it's a big argument for, I think, like, just kind of what I was saying about my theory.
Not trying to prove my point.
Not trying to pat myself on the back, but I do think that the increased coincidences during COVID, like, during a time when we're seeing less of each other, and also maybe, like, paranoia is higher and we want to, like, seek out explanations for things. I think there's probably more magical thinking happening during COVID than usual.
No question about that.
But I think that us having limited access to each other makes us think, like, oh, we wouldn't have, like, the same ideas because we're, like, not communicating as much. But we're still, like, communicating online, and we're still reading the same things. And so I feel like that's, like,
everybody was watching Tiger King, and then you can't be surprised that you guys start to get paranoid about the weird things that happen. I'll just say this, though, I'm the only person who did not watch Tiger King. Sorry, everyone.
And you are missing out, but, like, it is too late because, like, the cultural memes have probably, like, ruined it for you.
The moment has passed.
Yes. But I do, I think that, yeah, it supports the idea that there is this just kind of, like, auger that we're kind of mentally all in together. And I don't think that it's a literal auger or, like, simulation that we're plugged into. I just think that it's the nature of our minds and the way that we process information and the way that we share information and how we, like, take things from our environment and spit them back out. I think that, like, our minds are just not so different from each other is what I think all of this tells me. And that's how I see the collective unconscious, I think.
I think that's real. And I guess, like, I don't know. I still believe that maybe thoughts are original, even if, like, someone else has had the thought. Like,
I think it'd still be original. It can be, yeah. You can both think of the same thing. That's like Tom Petty song, Don't Back Down, and Sam Smith's Stay With Me are exactly the same melody. And Tom Petty didn't come for him because he said, like, musical accidents happen. Like, sometimes you haven't even heard a song and you write the same song because it's just the nature of creativity is sometimes you write something that someone else also wrote.
Well, first of all, I'd just like to say this continues to affirm my appreciation for Tom Petty, RIP. But I, wow, yeah, I mean, that is, I also didn't know those were the same songs. Now I'm now like playing like them in really my head, and I'm like, wow, those are absolutely the same songs. Wow, I love that so much.
Werewolves of London and Sweet Home Alabama.
Well, that one I did know, yes.
Mm-hmm. I once played those side by side on a roller coaster for someone because I couldn't wait until the ride was over to explain that they were the same.
Wow. Wow. That's so important to me. I love that you did that. You're like, I can't even wait until this ride is over in 4 minutes. I have to play these songs on my fucking phone on this roller coaster where, like, I'm sure the audio quality is just, like, really crushing it. But no, I love what Tom Petty's saying there just about, like, yeah, you can, like, write the same shit again. And maybe this is to your point of, like, earlier of being like, you know, I'm pushing back on this creativity and these colors and whatever. And I stand by my arguments, but
that's fine. I think we're just saying it differently, but go on.
I think that's fair. I think we are saying probably just like the collective unconscious. We're probably just saying the same thing, but differently. Ooh, full circle. Very meta.
Good job.
Yeah, we really tied it up in a bow there. But no, I just think, like, yeah, of course, like, there is a finite number of, like, notes, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And, like, patterns of notes and, you know, things that are considered, like, chord progressions and, there are certain theory and the way things fit together. Yeah,
exactly. There are relationships of notes that make all people feel like certain things. And so, like, that's also, like, a strange, like, shared thing that contributes to the collective unconscious.
Like, yeah, like, music that feels, like, eerie and scary versus things that feel joyful and, like, those, you know, chord progressions, those relationships between those notes. To
Christian
your point,
music chills from, like, a certain...
Ooh, those Christian music chills.
Yep, from a certain chord change.
Mm. Oh, they'll come for you. Actually, speaking of Christian music chills, and I want someone else to... I don't want someone to have had this experience, but there was a pastor at a church that we went to for years that, like, his voice used to give my mom panic attacks.
Wait, you and I went to this church?
Yeah, but I went to this church while this pastor was there and you did not. Oh. But my mom, like, one time they had to call an ambulance on her. This is real talk. And she goes, dude, that man's.
That boy's voice, really.
Yeah, he really did it to her. Wow. And my mom goes, I like him as a person, but it just, like, she felt he made her feel crazy.
Oh my God. Yeah. I am so curious about that.
I always kind of wondered if he stressed anybody else out.
Right.
You know?
Huh.
Yeah. I don't know, though. I'm sure that, like, I'm just sure that a lot of things have, like, again, this is the call to the void shit for me, where I'm like, people have, like, these weird feelings or, like, things that make people feel really good. And, like, also, you can't explain why it makes you feel really good, but everybody's like, yeah, I love it. Mm-hmm. I feel euphoric about this. I guess I just want more people to, like, say those things out loud. And maybe the whole fucking warm and fuzzy of the collective unconscious is just, like, a real, like, you are not alone vibe that everybody just, like, to your point about the comedians making these jokes that people are just like, yeah, that's a universal truth and that's why it's funny.
We all
maybe
have
maybe that's some of it.
Yeah, yeah. But it does, I think, make me feel like a you are not alone kind of thing. And that is, like, a nice way. But I think we all just, everybody's a human and we all, like... Mm. Process information very differently from each other, and we need to be aware of that, but, like, not that differently. I don't know. We all have the same kind of brain, pretty much, more than we do, like, to a dog.
Although,
amazing
contributions
are we
really
coming
that far
from here.
Dogs?
No.
Yeah. I guess, I don't know, what's your full summation? Do you have any sort of concluding thought on this of, like, should we not be pissed that, you know, these Netflix overlords are trying to come for us?
No, I think that while I feel infringed upon, I think that it is validating that a show like that was made 4 years nearly after we started this show. So, like, beat you to it. And
sorry about it.
And, like, it's obviously that's, like, a phrase and a concept. I think that, like, we chose because it felt like something that was a generational question, but also kind of like wiry and funny. And I would guess that they chose it for the same reasons.
Yeah.
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 So I feel infringed upon, but validated. That's my feeling.
Okay. Well, listen, I think the takeaways are collective unconscious, feeling infringed upon and validated.
Exactly. Yep. Always. Right. Yeah.
It can be both. Well, on that note, I think as always, you can let us know how infringed upon or validated we're making you feel on the internet via email at whyyoulikethispod@gmail.com, on Instagram at whyyoulikethispod, and on Twitter at WAYLTTweets. And good morning, good night, good day, good evening. I don't know. Protect your ideas or like don't.
Yeah, look out for coincidences if you want. I'll leave you with one last one. Yesterday, while I was thinking about this episode, but also shopping, I went into Madewell, and Paula Abdul, who we've talked about a lot recently.
A lot! We've talked about a lot of Paula,
she's a
and
repeat
I used to work
game
at this
contestant,
store.
Like a game choice. Anyway, I walked into Madewell.
I've actually dreamt about Paula recently.
Oh, my.
Sorry.
Yeah, she's been on the mind. So I walked into Madewell and Paula Abdul's Straight Up was playing. And here's the extra layer. Straight Up by Paula Abdul topped the Billboard 100 charts on the day of my birth, February 14th, 1990.
Stop. I can't.
Mic drop.
You guys,
that's all. Goodbye.
Mic drop. That's it. Bye. Shit.